Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Uh-oh, Jaxa, your fan club spotted us.
Say no. Okay, I just got out of my first Xeno history seminar. That is hard to say, Xeno history. Oh, we're going to learn about the Preservers, the Zindi. Do you know about them already? They're so cool. Well, I think they are. We're going to learn about them. I don't know yet, but I assume that they're very cool. You're right. I love this.
Now I feel like I'm in class.
Other people are allowed to talk every once in a while, Nick. Don't listen to him. You sound just like me when I was a first year.
If we're going to pull this off, we need to log way more hours in the simulator.
Pull what off?
A surprise for the commencement. Don't worry about it.
What kind of surprise?
Supposedly something that will make us all legends. But I'll bet the only name anyone's gonna remember is Locarno.
No way! They'll remember Nova Squadron!
Woo! Yeah!
Okay, how about this? Let's get started.
Let's do Star Trek. Ah.
Let's got Star Trek.
Let's get it. Let's get some Star Trek.
Open us up, Space Channel.
Okay.
It's time to open one.
Wait, you needed a musical sting? How about this one? Ah.
I mean, it's a little bit more than a sting, I think.
Oh.
Which number podcast?
How about this?
Okay. This is going to be a good one, folks.
Is that a musical sting?
That was an audio sting, perhaps, but it was not musical. Jesse, to answer your question, this is very percussive. This is episode 213 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Do you guys have triskaidekaphobia?
Is that a fear of 13s?
Yeah.
No. I do not.
Okay, that's good.
I do not have to have that.
Because that's completely irrational.
All right. We're going to get right into this episode.
There's no place for that.
I thought it was very musical.
There's a lot to discuss in this episode. But news and ups. Any news and ups on your end?
Does this count? This is not news and ups. This is last week em ups.
Okay.
Last week em downs.
Old business em downs.
Last week when I was like among the people of the refugees or whatever you called them. What did you, you know, the people on the planet where there was the Binars and the Romulans and the...
Yes, the planet that they were stranded on.
Abductees.
Yeah. I thought one of them was a Vulcan and I realized that was foolish. Well, I'm getting to that if you let me finish.
Right. I retract my previous statement.
I was foolish to think it was a Vulcan. It was the second Romulan is all it was.
Well, they look a lot alike.
I also thought it was funny that Ma'a wouldn't fight in a place that didn't honor the battle enough with Mariner.
That was cool.
Wasn't that funny? That was funny. I'm making it seem like I don't think it's funny, but I thought it was really funny.
I'm confused. Was it funny or was it just interesting?
Are you making it seem like it's funny?
Was it supposed to be funny? Is there a joke about it?
Is it supposed to be funny?
Well, I thought it was kind of funny because they're so into honor that he wasn't even going to like fight her. He was like, this ring, we're inside some tree or something. This isn't a proper fighting ring. So he was like, I'm not going to fight you in this proper fighting ring. We have to get to a real fighting ring.
It's funny. That you think that's funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
I thought it was just a good old, you know, super honorable Klingon.
Yeah, but I think they wouldn't fight
during the knife storm either.
The raining glass. No, I thought it was funny because it was a Klingon being like extra honorable, like to a point of being like kind of silly. Like, I don't think a non-Lower Decks Klingon would have necessarily stopped fighting there. But
it depends on the Klingon.
But I thought it was funny because he was being really intense about the how honorable it was that he was just going to be like, he was just like, we can't fight here. It's not good enough. Okay. And then like, because she didn't want to fight, he was like, oh, come on. Because he couldn't fight her because it wouldn't have been honorable to fight someone who didn't want to fight. You know?
All right. Okay.
If you get a hug and then you fight somebody, that's pretty bad, I think.
Yeah, even for a Klingon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how you disarm people. You just give them hugs.
Just hugs.
Against their wishes, I guess. I don't know.
Hugs across the galaxy.
Disarming them, like literally and figuratively?
Yeah. All right. So no Ma'a. Old business.
No Ma'a this week.
No Ma'a this week.
So it related to what we were talking about.
But other new business, we did get a voicemail.
Oh, yeah.
A reminder to folks, you can send us voicemails if you are so inclined.
voicemails. You can send us a smell mail.
Voicemails of up to 90 seconds.
Hell yeah.
Yes, you can send us. Yeah. And all you have to do is you just go to www.itsgodstartrek.com/record.
I like it.
Yeah, simple as that. Record. Slash record.
Very, very cool.
All right. Listen to our voicemail from Fraser.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Fraser Secret here. Ignore my last message. It was dumb. I heard you guys talk about, oh, by the way, amazing show. My favorite Star Trek pod.
Thank you.
You guys are hilarious. I heard you mention the old C64 game Archon
just now.
And oh my God, did that bring back some memories. Favorite game ever. The Phoenix, the Dragon, the Unicorns.
The Basilisk.
The Basilisk. Oh my God. If I could get a working version of that, I would play all freaking day. Maybe you could do an episode on your favorite C64 games like you did for your Pickle one.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That was pretty great. Anyway, love the pod. You guys bring back so many memories from my childhood. It's fantastic. Keep up the great work. I laugh my ass off. You're amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Fraser.
Right, I like it.
I do like the idea, maybe not of specifically of Commodore 64 games, but I do like the idea of doing like a game-based thing. Mm-hmm. We've discussed it in the past. We were thinking maybe that should be a video, right? We want to dabble a little bit in
that
video.
That would be beneficial.
We were thinking that it might benefit from that if Dan could show some of his prowess.
Oh, yes.
Using the old video screen.
Prowess?
But
prowess? Oh, yes.
It's something
like a,
we've
it's
considered.
Like a prow, but it's a prowess.
Well, we do appreciate the kind comments. Dan, what are your thoughts on the video game?
Well, first I want to know what his voicemail before said, because he was just like, forget all that. Nope. Don't even put that out there.
I didn't listen to it because he said, I mean, I still have it, but I didn't.
You respected his wishes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he was like, ignore that one. So I ignored it.
Maybe we should do that.
He's like, all that crazy shit I said before, just pretend it never happened.
It was a very nice message.
No. So. Yeah, that was...
come to think of it now, I'm intensely curious.
We'll listen to it in private.
I'll have to go back and look. But listen, I should say.
No, that was an awesome voice message that we got, and I appreciate that. And yes, Archon was like a badass game. I was playing that on the Nintendo the most I remember playing on it, but I remember it was on Commodore 64. But yeah, it was awesome. It was like a checker chessboard type thing, and when you move, each guy had movement. When you hit the movement, you went to the separate battle screen and you battled it out.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and there was actually a newer Archon game made in like 96 or something.
Wait a minute.
The new Archon.
There was a newer
Archon
game.
I played that shit on Nintendo. Or maybe you showed it to me.
I probably did.
Oh, yeah.
But
that game was tight.
But in like, hell yeah, it was. And then, and in like in 95 or 96, they made a newer Archon game that was like, more epic. But I didn't play it. Someone I knew played it, and I watched him play it, and it looked cool. But it probably didn't have the same sort of vibe as the original Archon, you know. I try not to be too overly nostalgic, but sometimes, you know, it's okay to say that the old one's better.
So Dan knows his shit when it comes to the old video games.
He does. This guy used to have a whole tub full of video games.
I'm sure he still does. Somewhere.
Like, in the 2000s.
Sort of safety deposit box. Or in one of those pods. Do you rent out, like, one of those pods and just have it filled with, like, TurboGrafx-16 games?
I don't think there's that many TurboGrafx-16 games.
But you can have multiple copies of each game just in case. Bonk's Revenge or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Whatever that game was.
I have to keep my investment secret or else I'll get targeted, right? Isn't that what's going to happen?
Yes, that's right.
I'm going to get doxxed. Someone's going to dox
Don't
me.
Don't dox me.
Don't dox Dan.
Don't do it.
No.
Fraser mentioned the pickle episode. For those who are...
That's pretty tight.
Not in the know, you got to scroll back a little ways. But if you go to our website, you can just search for pickle. We did an episode that we called It's Not Star Trek, number one. It's Got Pickles.
Sure.
Where we tried a variety of pickles. It's an ASMR nightmare, just a heads up.
Yeah.
On purpose, mind you.
And by the end, I couldn't taste the difference between the pickles.
You should have been there.
If you want to have, if you want to listen to three gentlemen crunch on some pickles and then slowly, slowly get more and more ill over the course of a podcast.
And there was some sherbet involved.
That's a good one. Oh, yeah, that's right. We had some crazy idea that we would like cut the flavor of the pickles by eating sherbet in between.
Lemon sherbet.
Well, that's what lemon sherbet's supposed to cleanse the palate.
It was tasty.
I'm not complaining.
It got all melty and gross.
Not complaining. It was awesome.
But the pickles were like, didn't we have like pickled okra and carrots and stuff?
There was just so many pickles. It all tasted like brine by the end. And I got so full. But it was good. I enjoyed it.
It was crunchy.
It was crunchy.
Very crunchy.
I'm a fan of a crunchy pickle.
It was a crunchy podcast.
All right. And speaking of crunchy podcasts, we should get going.
Oh, sounds like a party.
On the main conversation. But yes, as a reminder, if you want to send us a voicemail, it's gotstartrek.com/record. Please send them in and give us ideas what to chat about, especially
send
since, you know, hey, it's the end of new Star Trek for a little while. We don't know exactly when Discovery is coming back. Sometime maybe in January, maybe later. But until then,
never.
We'll be covering all manner of other Star Trek using Dan's algorithm. But hey, send us your ideas of what you'd like to hear us jabber on about.
We might take requests.
I have an important message.
We'll certainly consider them.
You might have an important message.
Dan plays sort of...
You might not.
It's sort of anachronistic. Well, maybe not anachronistic. That's not the right term.
Snacronistic.
Non sequitur. That's what I was
thinking. Hello, boys.
Non sequitur noises. All right.
No,
I have an important message.
No, because they're sending us messages, voice messages.
That's oh, the PI. For a moment, I thought I was concerned about who you were getting messages from.
Oh, no.
Damn.
They're sending us messages.
Not ominous at all.
They're sending us.
I knew what you were saying.
They're sending us messages.
Don't worry about it.
All right. We haven't even mentioned that this week the primary topic of discussion is.
I don't think we have.
Is Star Trek Lower Decks.
Lower Decks.
Season 4 finale.
The ultimate.
The 10th episode, the finale of the 4th season, the second part of a two-parter that started last week with The Inner Fight.
Okie dokie.
This episode is called.
That was a weird thing you just did.
What?
You've often commented on my cadence. You had like a very specific cadence that I can't imitate. I'll just have to listen back to. You were just like, oh, wow, 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 wow.
That's what we're doing here. We're developing new cadences left and right. We innovate in the cadence sphere. It is one of the benefits, one of the advantages we have.
It's a cadence innovadence. Yeah. Innovations.
There are different niches.
Cadence innovations.
There are different little niches that we have to carve out in the podcast space. Most of the other ones are taken. So we're working on the whole weird cadence business. But yes, we haven't even gotten to the title yet.
Don't worry about it.
We must worry about this.
Don't even worry about it.
No, we got to get the title
out.
What
are you worried about?
Because
what
it's
are
part of the format. About? Part of the format of the show.
Don't even worry about it.
We have the opening
it.
Music. We have a clip from the show that is evocative of the overall message of the show.
Stand firm.
Then the podcast starts. We jibber jabber a bit, then we get into the conversation. But we do have to say the number of the podcast, which we've already done, and we have to say the title of the episode.
Old friends.
Then
new
you're
friends.
A fool.
I'm now realizing Jesse's probably said the title like 5 times, and I just haven't.
No, noticed. I just said it this one time.
Oh, okay, good.
You want me to say it again?
Yes.
Old friends, new planet.
That's not my favorite part about that.
I checked it. That, my notes.
That, you had to read it off your notes. I will say that a lot of people were wondering. They're like, why did they hide these titles from us? They hid The Inner Fight and they hid this title,
yeah.
Old Friends, New Planets. The Inner Fight, who knows? I don't know exactly. It's other than maybe not to mislead people to think it was some sort of Inner Light parody, which it wasn't. Just the name was a parody, which was a common thing this season, I should say.
Yeah.
But when I saw this episode was titled Old Friends, New Planets, and we'd already met Locarno and we'd already seen the Genesis device, I immediately was like, okay, yep. It's going to end up with Locarno blowing up Genesis device and turning into a planet. So I get why they wanted to hide that that name a little bit.
But I mean, in the beginning summary before the episode starts, when they're
they show
last
the Genesis
week,
device.
The summary basically spoiled the plot through like carefully selected scenes we've seen. Because we have seen all
I
those scenes,
skip that, Jinx.
But they highlighted stuff that could have been like, was the Genesis device just a reference? Yeah. Was it important? Well, it turns out it was pretty important because they showed it at the beginning of the thing.
TV shows always do that in the flashback, but I tend to skip the Lower Decks flashbacks.
Yeah, I usually skip.
Or most Star Trek flashbacks.
Yeah, I often skip flashbacks.
I never skip them.
Like, never?
I didn't skip.
No. Not out of any philosophical reason, just
Peaky
laziness.
Blinders, I think I watched the flashback.
It's like, my memory is really going because, like, if I watch an episode last week, what I end up doing is I watch the last 5 minutes of that. Then when I watch it the next week when it comes out, I'll watch.
Wait,
okay, so a TV show, a show streams, right?
Okay.
Once
a TV show.
Any TV show streams and it plays and a new episode comes out.
Like
each
a pilot?
What's a pilot? And a new episode streams every week. Let's say it's following this format. When I watch episode 2, because it's a week later, I generally go back and watch the last 2 or 3 to 5 minutes of episode one.
See. Oh,
and
cool.
Then I'll watch the recap because my brain just can't fucking remember
that's,
anything.
But
like, the last 2 minutes, I'll be like, okay, I remember everything. But like, I have to get my context all right. You know?
You have an interesting brain, sir.
Context is for kings.
Well, I feel like at some point I didn't used to feel the need to do that, and so I don't know. I'm worried about my ability to. Maybe all this like information everywhere is making me like forget things.
Are you on the TikTok too much? Is that what you're telling
it's
us?
It's got to be all those videos I'm doing on TikTok.
You're like flashing.
No, it's the one. No, it's the one where I take the camera and point it at myself, and I say some lines, and then I take a camera and point it at the other angle, and I say different lines. That's how you know I'm a different person. And I make a funny dialogue skit out of that. I've never done that.
So so here's the deal, right there.
Unlikely but possible.
Good little bit you did. The problem was that the humor was predicated on the idea that it would be absurd for you to do that when what you described, yes, you're describing the generic version, but you would do such a brilliant version of it that now I'd like to see it. And I'm sad that I know that it won't.
Aw, shucks.
But maybe we can do a funny gag where you do fake TikToks.
Maybe I'll do a fake TikTok.
Fake TikToks.
and hey, if you do that and they're funny, more power to you.
I'm not trying to talk bad. He's not dogging
on you.
Yeah.
Dan is not dogging on anybody.
But that's something you... but it is something...
Dan, don't dog.
It is something you see that became like more famous, I think, with I think it probably began around YouTube, but I probably...
He's more of a cat.
But it became more famous, I think. Okay. Okay.
It's a banter, you know?
Well,
hey, it's season finale. It's a banter. Season finale energy. It's a banter. Hey.
It's banter to a point, and then it's just words. Maybe it began on YouTube, but I feel like TikTok popularized that sort of genre of short video. Okay, now we can move on.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, why not?
Let's tuck into the season four finale of Lower Decks.
Okay, let's do it.
So there's a bit of a flashback to the Academy days.
There's a flashback.
That was kind of fun.
It was very good.
I don't know about this whole Starburst thing.
Now, what were you calling it last week, Dan?
It wasn't
Starburst, was it?
It was like a nuclear star blast or something?
Yeah, that's what it was. You called it a nuclear star blast.
Yeah.
But yes, it's the Colvord Starburst.
Starburst.
If we're going to pull this off, we need to log way more hours in the simulator.
Good old Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton and...
was that actually Will Wheaton?
That was actually Will Wheaton.
Word.
And there was also Shannon Phil.
Shannon
Phil, who played Sito Jaxa on TNG, and she voiced Sito Jaxa in the flashback. And
I'm trying to keep all this canon straight in my head. I need a straight canon right in my head. I need a straight canon going right through my skull.
A volley?
Right into my mouth, out the back of my head.
Dude.
Straight old canon.
That sounds ominous.
So Sito. So
I mean, the imagery is horrific, but it's
not
also
ominous at all.
You're acting as if the cannonball could actually go through your quote unquote mouth, as opposed
your
to just knock
unquote mouth
goes in your mouth.
No, instead of just knocking your fucking head off.
It's like
a goddamn cannonball.
Cannonballs are large, like maybe a a 50 caliber round, perhaps.
So Sito, we know she was on a TNG episode of Lower Decks.
Two of them.
Was she also in?
She was in the first duty.
Okay, let me finish my question.
Okay,
answer, please. Thank you.
I apologize. I've got the AI open using predictive Dan thought completion.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
It's pretty good, actually.
But was she also in the episode about Nick Locarno and TNG? So she was
part of that crew. That's where she was introduced.
Okay. And then she was also later on in the Lower Decks episode of TNG. Yeah.
I think a brief recap is useful for that. So we first met Sito Jaxa, Nick Locarno.
What's the name of that one?
It's called The First Duty.
Yes.
Nick Locarno.
And
Nick Locarno.
We described this briefly last week, but
Locarno. Nick Locarno.
Nick Locarno was a sort of asshole leader of this. I mean, they were go-getters. Wesley was a go-getter
totally
as well.
Totally,
dude. I wasn't a nobody.
And so they were going to do this fancy move using their little spaceships piloting skills.
The Starburst maneuver is banned for a reason.
Wesley's a good pilot. Yeah,
the Colvord Starburst. And what happens is they end up killing that Josh guy. This is the
Josh, are you sure?
This is the first time we see Josh.
That's right. Yeah,
because
that was kind of weird.
In the first duty, by the time we learn about him, he is dead already. He's already exploded.
Yeah.
Because the trick went, the little spaceship thing went wrong. One of the people died. And Nick Locarno tried to cover it up.
Yeah.
And that's, and then, and, you know. And they all.
And then Picard hates Wesley.
Nick Locarno.
So that's where we first meet Cedar Jaxa.
I wasn't a nobody.
Played by Shannon Phil. And then she came back for Lower Decks. And in that, it was interesting because at that point, she had graduated from the academy. And Picard had specifically requested her because he had witnessed how she handled recovering after making a mistake. Right. He thought that it was very honorable what she did. She stayed in the academy. She worked hard. She did as much as she could to make up for her error in judgment.
Don't listen to him.
So
and she didn't get kicked out like that other motherfucker.
Yeah. So, well, he took it
on. Locarno,
the one thing, and they don't, you know, you don't see so much of that in this episode, but Locarno was kind of a piece of shit.
He's a piece of shit.
He was a piece of shit, but he did take the fall, right? He said the responsibility was all on him as the leader of the group, which helped Wesley and Sito avoid any problems, right? They were able to stay in Starfleet with punishment. They weren't expelled. So
here's where we are.
Then Picard has her on the Enterprise, and then he gets her killed.
Yeah.
We learned about how that affected Mariner last week.
But right. So it turns out that Mariner knows all those people.
So she was there all along.
Yes.
Which we didn't
she
know
knows
that.
Wesley
we didn't,
Crusher.
We didn't know that up until now, that she was there that whole time.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
She was practically an honorary member.
Well, she did mention last week that she was at the academy with Sito.
Yeah.
And that she liked Sito and looked up to her.
Yeah, she did mention that.
Which
but
is already specific details.
But it wasn't like clear that she was like, knew Nick Locarno. I mean, she probably knew who he was, but it wasn't clear that she knew that whole crew that
well. It makes sense. That
I guess it makes sense.
Would.
Yeah, it would. I just didn't.
But you get
think
to
about
see
it.
It.
Yeah, exactly. That's you get to see it. And not only is that scene, I think, just very. It was a very cinematic scene that on the bridge.
Yeah.
The whole bridge shot on the bridge was really cool. And what for me, what was really powerful was that transition between the end of the flashback where Mariner's looking all bright and young and excited for her future, and then it fades into her contemporary, battle-hardened, recently imprisoned, totally stressed out Mariner. She looks all haggard and stuff.
Yeah.
Really just a very well-directed show episode. Really, really nice.
So when at the beginning scene when Locarno is like... He says,
out there will be nobodies.
And then Wesley was like,
I wasn't a nobody.
Like, I was curious if that was some kind of like meta joke or something about his, Will Wheaton's role in the show being like implying that he was a nobody on TNG. But that's bullshit because Will Wheaton is the opposite of nobody. He rules.
Yeah,
so I don't know. But I'm not.
I think it was just the joke. We've seen that before.
But there have been jokes in the past about like Wesley Crusher, you know, like, everyone always being like, shut up, Wesley, and that kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah, which so, really aggravates Will Wheaton because like a lot of abusive people have used that.
Yeah, right,
it.
And that's what I'm saying. So I couldn't tell if they were trying to make a joke in that vein.
No, I don't think so.
Because like that would have been fucked up.
No, I don't. I think it was not even really a joke. I think it was more an observation that and which Lower Decks has made before and other Star Treks have made before, which is like in the Tapestry episode with Picard when he's in the academy and they're all talking about, well, we're all getting split up. We're this great team. We're all going to be sent a million different places where we're not going to be the team anymore. And I took it to be Nick Locarno just trying to make that team go out in glory.
I think it's just the way he said,
I wasn't a nobody.
It was like specifically Wesley Crusher was saying it. It was not a joke on Will Wheaton.
I get what you're saying.
I said
a Will Wheaton joke. That's a Wesley Crusher.
That's a Wesley.
Joke.
Yeah. So I kind of
because he saved the Enterprise over and over. Because
I put it. Yeah. I guess I put it incorrectly. It's not a.
You
it
said
was, it's
you,
not,
you said snot.
It's
dis- you said snot.
He was some kid that like got to work on the bridge of the Enterprise.
So I wasn't what I. I didn't put it correctly. I didn't mean that I was commenting on them disrespecting Will Wheaton's role as Wesley. I should have more just said they were kind of Josh and Wesley a little bit. they were joning on Wesley a little. So it was a Wesley. It was a Wesley Crusher joke.
Yeah. Wesley Crusher, joning on the Wesley, joning to go to the town.
Speaking of snot,
wasn't he looking at some kind of model of the universe? He was looking at some kind of crazy graphic that was like
graphics.
It was the Starburst. I think it was the covert Starburst.
Speaking of snot,
which comes up, that symbol comes up repeatedly in this episode.
Speaking of snot, can you pick out the line in here? Like, I'm going to play something and see if you can hear this line, what's being said.
All right.
Could you pick out any words in that?
No, are there words in that?
Yeah, there are. I'll play.
Well, I was watching it with captions.
Okay, so you don't.
I saw Migley Moo say his snot.
No, hey, come on! How many times did I have to? Did you not hear me go, Jesse? Don't say it!
I never.
And you just kept barreling
that.
On.
You never said
because
that.
You just kept barreling on, and I was trying to say, Jesse, don't. I was saying, Jesse, if you know it, don't say it. But
what did he say?
Because you were just barreling on. I was just trying to say, wait, don't say it, Jesse. Don't say it. And you just said it anyways.
I didn't hear what he said.
Okay, I'm gonna shut up. We're good. Everything's all good.
So all you're trying to do, Dan, is you want to please me because you want to delight me with something that I didn't get to enjoy in the episode.
Yeah, now Jesse would have been part of it too, but he already knows it.
So. Okay. I have blown it.
So.
Well, I didn't hear it, so I didn't. So okay, you're gonna play it again.
I'll play it again.
Okay.
And I'll play a smaller portion of it so it's hot, so it's isolated now. Now it's isolated.
I hear
Isn't it impossible? It's impossible.
I don't hear what it says, but the captions say something, is what you're telling me. Is that because I didn't watch it with the captions on.
Right.
Because I don't believe in cheating.
Jesse, what are they saying here?
It's cheating.
What are they saying?
It's snot.
Yeah, they're saying, ooh, the snot.
It's okay. Bigly Moo.
Okay, play it again. Okay, see, the thing is now you hear it.
Now you hear it.
Now
right.
you hear it.
Right. Yeah.
If you see something, say something. If you hear something, hear something?
I happened to watch this episode.
Wear something. If you hear something, wear something.
Like a sign.
Phone a couple of times.
You had to watch it on your phone?
I said I happened to watch
it. Oh, you happened to watch it.
So I watch it on
headphones?
The phone's just, well, yeah, I do. I do have headphones, but like I just have it set so that, I mean, for some reason the captions were just sort of like default set and I never changed it. So I get to see like, you know,
unlikely
actual
but possible.
Words.
Oh, okay. Words are cool.
So I knew that he was saying snot.
Yeah. He said, ew, the snot. And ooh, like, I couldn't hear it. I couldn't even hear it for the longest time. Like, I had to keep playing it
Orion
over.
Orion sneezed on him like a whole bunch.
So the first, I just kept, before I just kept trying to get it from this whole line. And I couldn't fucking get it. It wasn't until I listened to it like 10 times that I highlighted the exact isolated point, and it still sounds hard to find.
I just want to call that dedication to the craft out to the audience. You know, the audience is very appreciative of you, Dan, and your skills, but I do think we need to be reminded from time to time that although you do have a sort of genetic preternatural skill, that skill is buttressed by a tremendous amount of hard work.
Oh, you like that?
Yeah, he's very dedicated.
It's not easy being so cheesy.
Oh, you like that?
I do like that. I mean, I do.
Warthog.
Is it time to take a break?
It's about time to take a break. So how about we do that? We'll take a quick break.
Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
And when we return, we'll have something mildly amusing before we continue our conversation.
Don't make too many promises.
Okay, we'll be right back. Okay, we have returned.
What up, everyone?
We have returned
What's
from the break.
Up indeed.
Mm-hmm.
We hope it was a good one for you. It was a good one for us.
Yeah.
We had some discussions, took care of some business,
uh-huh.
and now we're ready to get back to our discussion. Almost.
Uh-huh.
Almost. Because briefly, before we get back to our discussion of Lower Decks Season 4, Episode 10, Old Friends, New Planets.
Woo! Yeah!
I wanted to bring up something that I don't know. This amused me. I thought it might amuse other folks. So we've been playing around with some of this AI business and automated this, that, and the other thing, all the computer algorithms, all the fun stuff going on out there, right? And we stumbled across a new thing where there's a service where, you know, tries to provide automatic transcripts and summaries and all that stuff. It's like, okay, yeah, it's getting better. Those things are doing a pretty good job. I do have to say I'm pretty impressed with the AI breakdown of quote-unquote podcast chapters, right? So you put an episode of our podcast in and it tries to decide what to name the different chapters throughout the podcast. So I thought I would just provide some highlights from an episode from a few weeks back. So It's Got Star Trek episode 210, in which we discussed A Few Badgies More. The AI decided to break down the podcast into the following chapters. At 000, it's Let's Make Some Podcast Magic.
Hell yeah.
Then at 322, it's Yeah, A Few Badgies More. That's the thing, the beans.
I'm Badgie, your helpful training program.
The chapter that starts at 7 minutes and 50 seconds is titled, I think you could live up to it by just banging on, like, banging on a bunch of sound effects at once. Okay, and here's where it starts getting really good.
Badgie?
At 11 minutes and 11 seconds of the podcast, the title is Exploring Terms for People from Tasmania.
Okay. I think I remember what they're talking about.
Then at 13:38, it's Embracing Friday the 13th, My Spooky Boy. At 13:54, so that chapter, that previous chapter is like 12 seconds long, because then at 13:54, it's Spooky Dan's Early Arrival.
Yeah, I like Spooky Dan.
22:01, The Doctor's Potential for Treachery Through Hollow Emitters.
Okay.
I remember that. We got briefly serious.
Yeah.
At 23:53, Badgie's malicious intent and intellectual capacity for sabotage. All right. 26:43, Spooky Dan's explanation of subspace and warp travel.
Sabotage.
31:04, discussion of emotions and their management. 34:11, serious face turns sad.
Oh. What?
I don't know what we were talking about.
I don't know. That sounds dark, though.
36:28, the mystery of jam factories in Tasmania. 43:30.
The mysteries. Was it because...
Because I was like, how many jam factories?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're like, Jesse was like, do they even make jam in Tasmania? At 43:33, fun quiz and tangents. 49:50, information for Starfleet regarding Lord Tyrannicillus.
Oh yeah, that's right.
50 minutes and 9 seconds, the importance of visual and auditory cues.
Okay.
54:53, Jeffrey Combs, brilliant voice acting.
Mm-hmm.
58:55, the challenge of admitting a change of heart.
Wow, we're talking about some real deep stuff.
1 hour, 6 minutes, and 33 seconds.
That's what happens, man.
1 hour, 6 minutes, and 33 seconds, a misdirect and tubular talk.
What?
What? Tubular talk. A misdirect and tubular talk. It's like hard to say that.
Yeah.
1 hour, 14 minutes, and 11 seconds, pierogies. The underrated delicacy.
Word.
Mm-hmm. I do remember talking about pierogies.
One hour.
That could be a different podcast.
Hour, 18 minutes, and 10 seconds, Rutherford's grappler mishap and being careful.
That goes together.
I think that was when, Dan, you were like, no, he really should have been more careful.
Yeah. Well, what was the one, a misdirect and tubular talk? There's like a tonal difference in that, in the beginning and the end. But then the one about the grapplers and safety procedures, that all fits together.
Yeah. 1 hour, 22 minutes, and 1 second, blending episodic and continuous storytelling in Star Trek. All right. And then
sounds like a party.
And the final chapter was titled at 1 hour and 27 minutes and 22 seconds, the final chapter of the It's Got Star Trek podcast episode 210 was Excitement and Relief. It's going to be fine.
What are you worried about?
So those were AI generated chapter titles.
It's going to be fine.
I didn't know it was going to do that. I just opened up the thing. You know, they advertised it. They're like, give this a try. I was like, okay, I'll take a look. And I'm reading the chapter titles. The summary is hilarious, too. Maybe we'll reveal that at a summary of one of these things, the AI generated summary, somewhere down the line. But in the meantime, that bit of frivolity concluded. We may now return to our regularly scheduled discussion of old friends, new planets.
Mirror up with sails unfurled.
So, So Locarno, he captures Mariner. He says he saved her from the Romulans and the Klingons. Yeah. Why is he assuming that she defected? Like, he just stole her and he's assuming she defected.
So
he like literally stole her by transporting her and is like, boy, aren't you so psyched to be on board? I'm so glad you're on our side. It's like, what?
This is the weakest part of an otherwise brilliant episode. This is a wonderful season finale. It's a wonderful episode of Star Trek. A great episode of Lower Decks. I love this episode. It's fantastic. You do have to get over this little hump of the absurdity of Locarno just beaming Mariner up, assuming she's going to be on his side, and having her loose on the bridge. I know, you can create a headcanon that says it's because of his arrogance or overconfidence or whatever. That's all fine, of course. But yeah, you're stretching it a little bit. No biggie. That's what we all do. We always say that nitpicking is the universal right of all Star Trek fans. It's okay because the rest of the story works so well together.
He's an idiot and his plan is stupid.
But yeah, that the whole Locarno and Mariner thing, and then also there's not a lot explained about Locarno's like greater plan, and how everything's organized.
So yeah, it wasn't really. The only reason I could gather he collected the Genesis device, the GD, is because it seems like he'd do better with a bomb, which I guess the Genesis device is essentially just like a big bomb. Yeah, so I guess
that's a scarier bomb.
So I guess the only reason he didn't have any like plans with it other than to like use it as a weapon to kill people, basically, or as like insurance. But so it was just it didn't have to be a Genesis device. It could have been anything, but a Genesis device would be effective. As
I think part of what's interesting about a Genesis device, just for the philosophical idea of the quote unquote Genesis device, is that with a bomb, even a bomb that could destroy a planet, you're destroying the planet. That's one form of violence. It's arguably another order of violence to not destroy the planet, but simply destroy all the culture, all the living things, completely replace them with something new and different. I mean, if you're somebody worried that your enemy is going to come and drop a bunch of Genesis devices on you, it's got a little bit of that extra sinisterness to it.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't really brought up. The only thing they did bring up is how
Detrion
9 doesn't support life, right? At that point, when Mariner was scanning Detrion 9, she was like, oh, it doesn't support life. So that was kind
they
of
got a, better scanners that, than they did in Star Trek too.
That was kind of a dead giveaway that they were going
to
use it.
Does it have to be completely lifeless?
When they found out that it didn't support life, that was pretty much a giveaway that they're going to use the Genesis device on it by the end of the episode.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, it was kind of like, okay, well, you have this Genesis device, you have this planet.
It's Chekhov's Genesis device.
The computer reports back to you, oh, this planet doesn't have any life. It's like, well, of course they're going to use it on there. Yeah. So it was just convenient so they could start this new planet, which I'm guessing they're going to explore next season if they can do that.
Yeah. I didn't have a problem with that.
I didn't have a problem with it. It was just kind of like, that's the only reason the Genesis device was there. It wasn't because Tom Paris needed it. Although in the plot he needed it, but the reason they put in there was just a reason to create a planet at the end, and so I feel like they might end up doing something with that planet.
If you have a Genesis device, you should use it.
Well, yeah, but you want to make sure that planet has no life on it.
Because in Picard, didn't they go to the Daystrom station and there was a Genesis device up in there, I think, but you know, an unused one.
Right. Well, that's why.
Like, oh man, that's just an Easter egg. This was actually used for the plot.
Well, and I'm saying that. They have to find a planet that is uninhabited.
No, they don't have to.
They don't have to, but no.
Mariner wants to because she's not an evil person.
No, but as the viewer, we know that Starfleet's not just going to throw a Genesis device at some random planet they didn't even do it on purpose, but we know it was there and we know, okay, it's good. We started a planet. We didn't have to sacrifice anything.
So
it's a little, we're free to go on that one. That was a little bit. I don't know if I'd so far as called it cliche. I was fine with it. I don't know if I necessarily call it cliche. It's more just predictable. It's like, oh, well, that was a definite sign right there. They're going to drop it on the planet. There was a couple other parts. I like this episode a lot, too. I like that they kind of...
Did you?
Yeah, they went with this. They didn't really try to color outside the lines of a like an action blockbuster, but I was kind of into it because they just went so full force into it. They didn't try to pretend that's not what they were doing.
Yeah.
I mean, they had like, you know, flying through the those ice storms when they and you see the ice giant ice crystals crashing together, and it's like, well, action, And that ship, which I guess was a destroy a Defiant style ship or something. That
no, it was a new class.
It looked like a squished Enterprise.
Yeah, it behooves people. I recommend that people go look up online, because unfortunately I can't remember the specific details and I don't want to get them wrong. But the ship was named after, I believe, somebody associated with perhaps Eagle Moss or something with the model ships that passed away. Mm-hmm. And so it was sort of in honor of that person. They named that ship or the class of ship or whatever after that person.
Well, can we assume that ship is at least bigger than a captain's yacht, but smaller than the Cerritos?
Yeah.
Because it was doing the action thing where it was like flying up the Trinar ship. And it like pulled away at the last second. It was like, I was like, this is some action-packed shots. They also had like another shot where when Freeman was flying in on that captain's yacht, they did the shaky hand space cam or the shaky hand cam. And you gotta wonder, and you gotta wonder, it's like, who's out there like holding the camera shaky hand style? Like, this isn't NYPD Blue, guys. But like,
it's space.
It creates a cool effect, but it just makes me wonder what camera are they using out in space that's shaking so much? If you have a camera,
do cameras work in space?
If you had a camera in space, if it worked, it would probably be pretty still. Okay, it would probably be pretty still. It probably wouldn't be shaking around. And if a person was floating around, could they shake it that fast? So I always wonder, like, how is that happening? But it's okay because it produces an effect that is effective, an effective effect.
I want to take your film class one of these days. It's okay. I always wondered where they put who's out there, but it's okay because it's cool. Today we're going to watch another cool movie.
And the reason Mariner was able to steal that ship is because
I like this part.
And I brought this up in the past.
Hey, Jesse, do you think that Dan? Hey, sidebar, Jesse, do you think that Dan brought this up?
I'm skeptical.
Oh, all right,
okay. And I'm not saying
I think you may have brought it up.
I'm not saying you guys put me down or told me I was wrong, but you weren't enthusiastic about what I was saying. I was saying it's bad security practice, and this is a no brainer. Of course, it's bad security practice to be speaking codes out loud. They should be voice detection. Mm-hmm. But if they're voice detection, why would they even need a code? They should just detect. So there's no reason to have a code you speak out loud. And I get it, it's a TV show.
That's how Starfleet does it.
Wouldn't the code be in case somebody's imitating through algorithm your voice, so you need to also know the code?
Well, I guess
it's like a chip and pin.
Sure. I'll go with that.
Because I made
I was agreeing with you. Agreeing with you. I wasn't disagreeing. I was saying okay, but even by
just to clarify, because you haven't outright vocalized it.
Data could imitate voice
for the audience. What Dan is referring to is the fact that Mariner was able to use her mom's security codes to gain control of the ship.
So, and I was
her mom's a captain.
And what I was getting to is the fact that, like, I know it's a TV show. It's okay they're speaking codes out loud because we're just suspension of disbelief. It makes it easier for us to like get in the vibe of it. But then they used that. They used that device.
They used
and used it as a reason for why Mariner was able to steal the ship. It wasn't just some harmless way of engaging with the audience. It was a harmless way of engaging with the audience, which is speaking codes out loud just so it's easy for everyone. And then they twisted it and leveraged it to advance the plot. In this case, they repurposed that from an audience engagement device to a plot device. You see what I'm saying? They repurposed it. And so now this score security
is missing quite the physical representation of this argument.
So, and by the way, they did obviously don't need your voice recognition because Mariner was able to do it. So anyone who heard her say that could have fucking stolen that ship.
Well, okay. Yes.
And it's fine, though, because I suspension of disbelief. I'm just pointing out that they repurposed that shit.
We are permitted to be pedantic, but we also remind ourselves that it is indeed a television program.
We remind ourselves.
And in particular,
it's time for us to be quiet.
No,
now.
No. The joke that I enjoyed, this aspect of the joke, is they played it off as the type is like when a teenager knows their mom's credit card number.
True.
Or like the passcode to get into the snack drawer. I don't know. hey, some people have pretty serious setups at home. But it's the kind of thing that you can relate to because it's like, yeah, all right, your kids have intimate knowledge of
Fair
you.
Fair enough.
And so that's funny and cute. and charming and connects with the audience.
Okay, fair enough. I have like one or two more cliche moments.
I'm excited.
Okay, so the one
about the next list item.
Okay, so the I'll start with the one about Freeman gave the fucking inspirational speech where she goes, I'm about to disobey a direct order and stage a rescue of Lieutenant Junior Grade Mariner. Now, I can't ask any of you to join me. If we survive, the court-martial is guaranteed, but I will be damned if I wait for politicians to decide her fate. They pulled the old, like, we're going to get in trouble. I can't ask you to do this. If you don't want to do it, no worries. It's all good. And then, of course, I thought that for a second, I thought, well, maybe they'll subvert this by having at least one person say fuck no. But that doesn't really make sense. I mean, but they went for it. They went full fledged into it and did it. And so it kind of subverted me a little bit because I was half expecting it to play out differently, but then it just played out how you'd expect. So it was a subversion of a subversion.
It was like the whole, you know what they know.
If they had more time. Right. Yeah. Maybe they would have done something like that. It wasn't necessarily necessary.
And it wasn't necessarily necessary. I would have put it the same way.
It weren't necessarily necessary.
So I would say...
You would say...
At that point, I was kind of like, okay, they're embracing this whole action movie, like, you know, tropes and things like that.
Pews and whatnot.
And they went for it full force. And so I was actually kind of like, okay, fuck it. I'm enjoying this. It's not a big deal that they pulled this move because they didn't half-ass it. They didn't half try to pull an action blockbuster. They went full force into a full movie style blockbuster kind of thing going. So I was okay with it. Now here's one. I have a question for you guys.
Right. Really?
At the end, when Tendi and Rutherford hugged goodbye, that was like the end tail end of a cliched goodbye in a show or movie where like the kid goes off to college and then they hug each one of their family members and say, oh, I'll miss you because of this. And oh, I'll miss you. And then they save the most important one for last. And it's like, I'll really miss you because we slept together and stuff. You know, that kind of
and
thing.
And stuff. We did other stuff too.
And stuff.
And it ranges from, you know, kid going to college to somebody going off to battle or something like that, where they give their goodbye hugs. But they only showed a hug between...
What are you talking about, Dan?
They only showed a hug between Tendi and Mariner. Now, were they trying to point out that Tendi and Mariner have a super extra special relationship? Or do you think that
Tendi
they...
and Rutherford hugged.
I know. I was saying that was the only person
you said
they hugged.
No, you said Mariner.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Tendi and Rutherford. Right. Sorry, that's my fault.
Good.
Tendi and Rutherford were the only ones who hugged. So do you think they were trying to show the special relationship between Tendi and Rutherford?
Yes.
Or do you think they simply cut out the other hugs because they ran out of time and they were like, oh, they'd get the picture. Right. Do you think there was an original version where she hugged Mariner and Rutherford?
I'm fascinated by the question.
Tlin? I know.
I'm fascinated by the question. Jesse, what do you think? Because to me, it's like a hilariously obvious yes is the answer to that question.
Yeah.
It's so obvious.
Yeah. But why would they only...
I'm somewhat perplexed that you've taken the time to ask this question.
Because it's like a half cliche. Like, she only hugged one of them. Why didn't she hug the rest? She would have just... Because they saved the most important one for last anyway, so if she gave Rutherford an extra special talking to, we'd know that they were special, but it just seems like she didn't care about the other people.
Just out of curiosity, are you guys followers of the philosophy of save the best for last, or do you eat the, like if you have a box of a variety of chocolates or something, do you eat the favorite ones first and the less favorite ones later?
Or do you
save the best for last?
I sort of make an order of when I eat stuff.
Which way does it go?
I do save the best. Yeah, the better.
You save
things.
The best for last.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
How about you, Dan?
I have been known to, while I'm cooking and it's going to take like 60 minutes to cook, I've been known to.
Oh, I thought you were about to say it's going to take 60 minutes to explain.
I thought it was too. We know somebody that does that.
No.
No way.
No.
Hey. No.
Okay.
Unlikely, but possible.
All right, but the 60 minutes of cooking.
See, and during that cooking time, I might have myself a big bowl of pudding or something like that.
Whoa, so what are you cooking?
So then when you're cooking his food, you just let it rot.
What are you cooking for 60 minutes?
Just dump it on the kitchen floor in a pile.
What, the pudding?
No, the food that you're cooking, but you're no longer hungry because you've had all that pudding.
Right. Well, that does become a problem.
What are you cooking for 60 minutes?
You know, if you want to put a Stouffer's lasagna in the oven.
Chicken pot pie.
Oh.
Chicken pot pie.
If
60 minutes or so.
Yeah, if you want to make,
if you want to do it fucking right.
I mean, if you want to make
some, that microwave bullshit.
If you want to make some like shitty frozen food, like I tend to often.
I don't.
I know you don't. That's why. That's why. But like, what do you
Jesse's
do?
Jesse's like only 60 minutes because Jesse's meals take like 3 days.
Yeah, that, meals take a long time. Like, why don't? Why were you?
What are you doing that 60 minutes?
Wait, yeah. When you said what are you doing that 60 minutes, I thought you were saying that's a long time. You were saying that that's a short time.
I was just curious about. I mean. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be.
Look,
you don't have to like take a long time cooking, but there's only certain things you can do in an hour, and I was just wondering.
So you said that it wasn't enough time.
It could be, it could not be, yes.
I thought you were implying that it was too much time. My fault. Look, I can cook. I've been known to cook. I've been known to make some okay stuff. But
oh,
like,
dude,
you've been known to use the phrase I've been known to a lot lately.
I've been known to do this.
Some
unlikely,
people
but
say
possible.
I've been
but sometimes I find that cooking takes up a lot of time.
It does.
You gotta
yes.
do a lot of chopping and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, that's what takes
and I'm
up
always
time.
Worried.
Are you guys making a joke about time? Like,
oh no.
Like rosemary and
no,
time?
No, but you're doing it.
Beer up with sails unfurled.
Because cooking uses up a lot of
time.
Chopping.
Because you're using up a lot of time.
You know what freaks me out about cooking is like all like the food, the illnesses that can get all over the counter. It's like I put my raw meat here and it's like, oh shit, I gotta wash my hands and then I gotta grab this raw meat. I'm like, oh no, I gotta wash my hands before I grab that other raw meat. So all I'm doing is washing my hands between grabbing raw meat.
Hey, you know, there's another option.
That'll happen.
You can just not worry about it. It's not
that big. Yeah, I can just not worry about it.
Just don't worry about it.
But
don't worry
about chopping. Does take
what are you worried about?
Well, that was it.
But you have to get really, you have to get like a system down where you just go like.
We digressed a little bit, but just for the record, for
don't worry
the
about
completionists out there, I separate out the good stuff and the stuff I don't want. I eat the good stuff and I give away or toss the extra stuff.
You separate the pretzels from the Chex Mix.
Take
and
the
you
pretzels
used,
out of the Chex Mix.
And you used to mislead and say, oh yeah, they're fine, I'll eat them later, but you never ate them.
I never
you would
them
say
later.
That you would eat them later, and I was like, he's not gonna eat those later.
I was just embarrassed. I didn't want people to think I was wasteful.
Well, I believed you.
I was being
I believed you
capricious or something.
I believed you the first few times, but then one night I noticed it's like, those have been there all night. I don't think he really eats those.
I like to keep pretzels out anyway. It's a bowl of pretzels.
Yeah, but not those pretzels.
No, it's a bowl of pretzels. You keep it out like potpourri. It's not for eating.
Okay, that's
just for atmosphere.
It's
that
salty
color.
Potpourri.
That salty, you know, the lye. You
it
like
purifies
that,
the air.
That lye dough. Anyway, sorry, I'm not helping with this whole keeping on topic thing,
jeez.
Which is in part my responsibility. So
it doesn't matter.
Star Trek. Hey, boys and girls.
Hey.
Gather around the fire. We're going to discuss some Star Trek today.
Oh, yeah. And that was...
Did you finish your list, Dan? Do you have other things about that were cliche?
I thought it was kind of predictable when Tendi picked Dr. Miglimo. I didn't know she'd pick him.
Oh,
but,
yeah. That
but,
was
like,
obvious.
When everyone was flexing. When
it was funny. It was. Yeah. I thought it was really good, but it was also...
like that?
I knew Dr. Miglimo would be involved as soon as I saw him on the Way Team. And Dr. Miglimo is really one of my favorite characters. Some people seem to hate Dr. Miglimo.
No way. He's awesome. No,
I think Dr. Miglimo as a character is fantastic.
I don't think you could have the show without him.
He does occasionally suffer from the whole, if he's in the scene, it means something goofy is going to happen with him.
Yeah.
He is often in the background, but there's this... like,
he's going to be a bird.
It's like if he's beaming down... Something's happened with him, and yeah, so it was pretty clear what was going on.
Perhaps we could settle this over a delicious bowl of slime.
Yes, there's a fry.
I found it
Paul F. Tompkins,
and
one of the best.
I found it a little surprising that everyone was so like incredulous that she picked Dr. Miglimo, because of course he doesn't look like he's going to win a fight, but they got to trust Tendi. He's going to know something that they don't.
He's got sharp claws, that Miglimo.
I mean, and you know what's a bummer?
Got a powerful beak.
A bummer about that whole thing that made me question that whole scene is the fact that he lost anyway.
Yeah,
I was just like, oh man,
well, that was good. I thought it was clever.
That was. A subversion of expectations.
Clever storyline.
But he didn't really like. He only lost because she fell on it.
Yeah,
like if she had fallen somewhere else, he could have been like, "I won."
Yeah,
right.
But she didn't.
Yeah,
so he didn't.
I know. Well, yeah.
I'm sort of like I said. I'm conflicted because on the one hand, it did subvert my expectations, but on the other hand, I'm like, why did we watch all this if he was just going to lose anyway? But it was entertaining.
But why do we do? Why do we get up in the morning?
Because it's on TV.
What's the fucking point? Just marching towards death, each and every one of us.
Was it Futurama where they were like sitting in some chair and in like a matter of seconds they implanted implant the memory of a television show in your head. So it's like they walk away and watch a television show in a couple seconds, which is funny because you think like, what did you really gain from that experience? You know,
well, so
why do we do anything?
Yeah. Why do we do anything? Indeed.
Illogical tactics can sometimes lead to logical solutions.
She sounds like the like when your phone tells you that you can't do what you're asking. You know.
Right, or Google. Like, when Google's like, I'm sorry. Yeah. You have to be much more clear when you speak to me.
Illogical tactics can sometimes lead to logical solutions.
Yeah, I hear it. I agree.
I think I think that actor is totally goofing on some Google.
Yeah.
Goofing on some Google. The Dueling Twains. You just reminded me of the whole Dueling Twains thing.
When we're twaining.
I love that they pulled that out again. I love that it worked again.
Yeah, it did.
That's one of the funny things about this season. Like, they go back to that.
And there, what was his name? Is it Vivek? Is it Livick or Vivek?
Livick.
Livick.
Who that was in? I can't remember now which episode, but that was where Rutherford was fighting him. Well, that was in the when he was trying to get the promotion. Was that the second episode, first episode of the season? I can't remember.
Yeah,
but he
I
was.
Think so,
he was something about the promotion. He was like, Livick.
Perhaps you need to work on your leadership skills, Mr. Rutherford.
That was the That was him following up on the
Livick.
Yeah, it's Livick.
Rutherford.
Livick.
Rutherford.
Livick.
Rutherford.
Livick.
Oh, yeah.
Rutherford.
Livick. Time for beef.
Rutherford. Yeah, it's just that point in the second
Nick
break.
Nick Locarno. Nick Locarno.
Second segment of the show.
I guess it flipped my mind because the name is so stupid.
I guess it flipped my mind because my name is so stupid.
But that's okay.
You were right. I love this.
Not pleasure to speak again so soon. So soon. Not pleasure to speak again so soon.
So soon. So soon.
Not pleasure to speak again so soon. So soon.
You gotta
not
fold in that like
pleasure to speak again so soon. So soon.
The trouble bubble. Bubble trouble.
Oh, last week. Oh, man. That was from last week. Oh, man.
That was good because I remember when they were playing in the recap, I heard that and then I couldn't hear it.
Prouble together.
The Prouble together instead of the Trouble together.
Right. The Prouble together. The Prouble together. Yeah. They did that at the end of the episode this time around. Didn't they?
Well, in the beginning of the episode, it was the end of the last episode. But
yeah, that's what I meant.
The recap for this episode.
Prouble together. Prouble together.
Right.
Now play it with the previous clip.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to move all the stuff around. We got to vamp for a minute.
Yeah.
Do we have time?
Podcast
is the podcast with my face in your face and your face in your face.
Wow. Not Johnny pleasure Clips. To speak again so soon. So soon.
So soon.
Not pleasure to speak again so soon. So soon.
Prouble together.
Not pleasure to speak again so soon. So soon.
Prouble together.
Not pleasure to speak again so soon. So soon.
Prouble together.
Not pleasure
to speak
again so
soon. That kind of
where you had it in mind? That kind of. And what was that one with Mariner where it was all lyrical with Mariner?
Oh, man. Is this from like six episodes ago?
No. From this episode that you were just playing. It was when it was da 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 da. Sipping jippers on a beach somewhere.
Mariner!
Jippers what up, everyone? Hell yeah. Woo, he is obsessed with you, girl.
Oh, I was playing a Mariner beat.
I think it was a Mariner, wasn't
it? I guess it flipped my mind because the name is so stupid.
Yeah, that one. That one's a really good one.
I guess it flipped my mind because my name is so stupid. I guess it flipped my mind because
the name is so stupid.
If I had a proper, like, hard button keyboard, it's hard to do this on this touchscreen.
So what you're saying is that we need to open up a Patreon for our listeners to send you money, cash money.
Somebody's going to get you all...
So you can buy yourself a fancy fancy interface keyboard business.
Yeah, that'd be tight.
Right. Guyman class.
What do you
Guyman
how much
class.
Do you need? Like,
other people are allowed to.
Was that 15 grand? Would that cover it? 15, 20 grand? Is that
now
is that
I
enough?
Feel like I'm in class. I'm in class. Okay. I'm in class. Now I feel like I'm in class. I'm in class.
But that's okay. if you would
now
like
I feel
to send
like
us,
I'm in class. I'm in class. I'm in class. Now I feel like I'm in class.
But that's okay. You can send us a check for $15,000. We'll just
25.
Right. Well, 25 total.
Now I feel like I'm in
25
class.
25 total. Yeah, total. 20, that's what I meant.
20,
total. That's what I meant. Total.
But in increments of 15,000. That's our preference.
I'm going to take a cut.
Just right.
Now I feel like I'm in class. I'm in class. I'm in class. Now I feel like I'm in class.
But that's okay. So just write to feedback@discussstartrek.com with the subject line, we have $15,000.
$17,000.
And we'll give you the address or the P.O. box or the Venmo or bank transfer information.
What up, Binars?
The European numbered accounts information.
Not pleasure to speak again so soon. So soon.
Trouble together.
Here we go. Kick it.
Kick it.
Kick it.
Not pleasure to speak again so soon. So soon.
I don't think I can. I don't manage. I can't manage more than like one thought at a time here. Are we going on? We're doing this for too long, aren't we?
Now I feel like I'm in class. Now I feel like I'm in class.
But that's okay.
I was just very sympathetic to the idea.
Now I feel like I'm in class. I'm in class. I'm in class. Now I feel like I'm in class. I'm in class.
But that's okay.
Thinking about one thing at once. Okay, so
not pleasure to speak again so soon. It's so
trouble
soon.
Together.
What's not going to cause any trouble, and what isn't too soon is our next break.
Trouble together.
So we are taking
is
a
it
break.
Right now.
It's time for a break, and after this break, we will return to conclude our discussion of our old friends, new planets.
What up, Binars?
Be right back. Okay, we're back.
What up, everyone?
What's up?
I'm sorry, I apologize. That was ridiculous.
Don't you say that if you don't mean it.
My apology is sincere.
Perfect. Sincere. That's what I'm going for.
Good.
Good.
You're good, you.
Mariner all looked at the screen, and she goes, this guy sucks. And she looked like a cartoon. Did you notice that?
Yeah. Oh,
well, it's a gimmick they use, I think, to very powerful effect in lower decks.
It is a cartoon.
In addition to actually being a cartoon,
like an older cartoon,
the style they use is mostly sort of just a nice modern, clean style. But every now and then, usually an action scene,
they get stylized on your ass.
If you go through freeze frames, it's such a great show to go through freeze frames because first of all,
what's that song? It's like freeze frame,
freeze frame,
freeze frame.
But if you do that with this show,
yeah.
Firstly, there are often very cinematic shots, but there you capture these little cartoon bits, which some of them only last a few frames, where it straight up looks like Bugs Bunny or the Tasmanian jam-eating devil.
This guy sucks!
What? I love that they do that because it just...
You said the jam-eating devil, didn't you?
No, I just said the Tasmanian devil.
Oh,
you must have misheard him.
Oh, you're right.
I couldn't have possibly have been making any sort of reference to jam.
My fault.
We're eating jam.
I'm doing it again, aren't I?
In association with Tasmania.
Do you think it's strawberry jam?
Strawberry.
Strawberry. Tasmanian strawberries.
Do they have strawberries?
I don't know. We can't trust the Wikipedia page because the Wikipedia page is what said that people from Tasmania are colloquially known as jam eaters. That's apparently incorrect. I'm sure our friends at Unplanned Trek can fill us in on the various flora and fauna and agricultural output,
or two
such as it may be, and other industries of Tasmania.
Jesus fucking Christ. Okay.
That is so loud, dude.
All right. Robert Duncan McNeil. We haven't talked much about him. First of all, of course, they had the hilarious gag of Rutherford saying, like, hey, he looks like Tom Paris.
Oh, yeah.
And Boimler being like, I don't see it.
He looks like Tom Paris.
I don't see it.
Yeah. They're identical. They have, like, the same face.
No, I just don't see it.
Great joke. But Robert Duncan McNeil, he's already been on Lower Decks playing Paris. What's really cool is that, I mean, of course, he's an actor. This shouldn't be surprising, but he plays Locarno very differently than Tom Paris. So although they have that fun visual gag joke there, you can just easily distinguish the characters. You're not watching this guy thinking he's Tom Paris at any moment, other than the funny joke, right? Mm-hmm. So super credits go to our friend, Robbie Duncan McNeil.
Mm-hmm. The Maquis would like a word.
Which I thought, a good point. A good point that Locarno's all trying to be all like, I'm the first blah, blah, blah. It's like, there's other people, including the Maquis.
The whole, there's another part of the story that I guess it makes sense, but it was kind of betting on a lot, was the whole way he gathered these people to begin with. Because he found these ships where the crew wasn't happy with their captain, right?
Yeah.
And he captured those people. He didn't capture their captains, did he? He just captured the disgruntled people.
He put the captains on the planet. Remember, that's like all those people we saw on the planet were the senior staff.
Oh, right. That was okay. You're right. Yeah, yeah. And so he captured the disgruntled people.
We didn't capture them. They were the ones who helped set up the ship stealing.
Oh, so Nova Fleet. he captured the captains, and then they went to him.
Yeah, like ahead of time. Ahead of time, they set things up so that the ship would show up.
And so they were grateful for him. Is the whole deal. That's why they joined sides with him, is because they were grateful for him.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, it's a big gamble just to like free all these people who are disgruntled with their captains, thinking that they're going to join your team that's against their whole sort of like organization. Because I don't know about you all, but I've been in situations where I'm bitter against the person in charge, but that I still like the organization I'm part of. You know what I mean? So just because I'm mad at the person in charge doesn't mean I want to leave the organization entirely.
I think you make an excellent point. I think if you really examine it too closely, it seems confusing to like, how did he meet these people? How did he generate this? You know, you could see this being a much grander story where he becomes sort of a local legend and people are attracted to his cause and thus start to mutiny.
Yeah,
but that would take longer to build up.
Yeah, they don't have enough time.
And it would be telling a different story. It would be telling that story. It wouldn't be telling the story of the characters we love and how they're impacted by this going on in the background.
I mean, yes, once again, you can just use headcanon to figure it all out, but with the information we're given, it seems like kind of a gamble, but it worked out mostly.
Yeah.
But then
if you tell the story, can you smell the story?
Why fart and waste it when you can burp and taste it?
You know, you both of you gentlemen are gross. You guys are
science
gross.
Bestie.
With your childishness and your tomfoolery. Disgusting.
I do declare we've settled upon a compromise.
But yeah, anyway, it's cool. Lots of other good jokes in this episode. I like that it was dealing with some serious issues, but they still get their jokes in. The captain's yacht joke, great. Because we've been hearing about this fucking captain's yacht business since forever.
Yeah.
And now we finally get to see somebody
technical manual.
Sort of use it.
At first I thought like when Boimler was captain of the ship doing the thing where they...
We threw a battleship at it.
When they threw the battleship
when
at it.
When they threw the battleship at the thing.
At first when they got Boimler as captain, I was like, oh, that's smart, Mayor. That's smart for Freeman to do that because she's the captain. She shouldn't be in that dangerous situation. She should hire someone else to do it. But then I was like, oh, fuck, because there she comes charging in her captain's yacht going through the shield like deep into combat. And I was like, oh, man, that's like the only thing more dangerous she could have done was like that. But
I thought you were going to mention that... It was peculiar that Boimler was sitting in the captain's chair when there were two full lieutenants standing behind him.
Yeah, there was that too.
TV show magic.
Yeah, there was that too, for sure. So there was a couple of questionable things about that. But yeah, it was
like nothing new to Star Trek, of course.
But as I was saying, and I was like, yeah, it's a good idea they put Boimler in because it's too dangerous for her. And that's when I realized, why did they put Boimler of all people in there? But then... Yeah, and then she went charging in the front line. I guess it's her kid, but she's still the captain. But Star Trek has historically never listened to never followed the philosophy that the captain probably should not put themselves in the greatest amount of danger.
Yeah.
That's something we all come to know and love about Star Trek, and it's okay.
All of us have come to know and love.
Since the time of the original series.
Since the beginning.
Yes. Excellent points. Now, the other thing that was cool was we talked about the Genesis device. There was the explosion of the Genesis device in a nebula a la Star Trek II. Lots of Star Trek II music used in this. A lot of evoking of Star Trek II. But what was so great was they not only evoked it, they had straight up, like when the Genesis device explodes and you see those concentric rings start fading in.
Yeah.
That's Star Trek too.
Totally.
But they arrived at that in a very different way. That's what was cool about it. It was evoking all of that without copying the story, and it wasn't copying the beats even. There was the vengeance story. It wasn't a vengeance story really. It was a different style thing. The whole shield and the battleship and Boimler getting to use the Cerritos as one of its potential functions as a tugboat, right? It's a sort of a utilitarian ship, so it's fun to see them use the resources they have at hand in order to solve the problem, classic Star Trek fashion. That was all super, super cool. So you get that, plus you get that cool classic Easter egg-y imagery. Mm-hmm. Well done. Well done, Mike McMahon and friends.
I couldn't have done it better myself.
I think they should give you a chance, Jesse.
You think so?
I think they should give you a chance, just one episode.
I don't know about that.
They should let you do one episode, soup to nuts.
Maybe.
That means
soup to nuts?
Writing it, animating it.
Soup to nuts.
Voicing it.
Soup of nuts.
Soup to nuts. You know that term?
No.
You know how? Oh, I'm shocked. I'm shocked that you don't know that term, Jesse.
I don't do soup.
No
it's
way.
It's an antiquated term, but soup to nuts means like no. The whole thing, you know? All of it.
The works.
From the soup to the nuts.
Oh. But this isn't fair.
I don't know what the etymology of it, but it's a phrase.
Yeah, I get it.
From soup to nuts.
When you were talking about hitting the beats, were you talking about hitting these beats?
Now I feel like I'm in class. I'm in class. I'm in class. Now I feel like I'm in class.
But that's okay.
Is that the kind of beat you were talking about?
Yes.
Did I say something about beats?
You said hitting all the beats.
Oh, okay.
And
you used that as an excuse.
Oh, so you meant this.
Back into that fucking well.
You meant this beat.
Not pleasure to speak again so soon. So soon. Not pleasure to speak again so soon. So soon.
Probable together.
Probable together. Probable together. I love it.
They certainly did hit all the action beats. You know,
all the action beats.
They did.
I mentioned these already. The her battleship all whiz wazzing around. You
Have
know,
you ever had all of your action beats hit?
Which this one?
Not pleasure to speak again so soon.
I'm not gonna do it. So yeah, the ship was all wazzing around, and they, you know,
wazzing and wazzing. Look at this ship just flying this way and that.
Yeah,
and it had a seatbelt. We got so much answered this week. Not just the captain's yacht business, but the seatbelt. They have seatbelts on Starfleet ships. They just don't use them because Mariner uses a seatbelt to secure the Genesis device.
Oh yeah,
in the first officer's chair.
That must have been a joke.
I think that was a really subtle joke. Yeah. I think he was saying like, yeah, we've got them, we just don't use them. Now they just need to explain. They just need to explain why all the consoles are made of like rocks. Where like rocks start raining down, especially on Discovery when there's damage and there's just like a bunch of rocks start flying out all over the place.
The Retribution crashing through the shield, that was a pretty cinematic like explosion.
I enjoyed that.
That was pretty awesome. It was the classic like big long thing crashing into a flat thing and then all crumbling in on its big long thing self. It was pretty neat.
Yeah, that was some shield.
Oh yeah, there was the hand-to-hand combat moment between Mariner and Locarno where she tries to talk some sense into him and he just kind of complains about why everything's stupid. That was like the final battle.
Yeah.
There was one of those moments. Although he wasn't revealing his plan because he didn't really have much of a plan.
Yeah.
But he did complain about some things. Yeah. So it was pretty action-oriented, like I said. And the ship blowing up right as he's like in the middle of saying something, you know, he's a stupid Ferengi, and then boom, it blows up.
Oh, and one of the best jokes in Star Trek, I think, the Ferengi Genesis device requiring a couple slips.
Yeah.
Or a couple, was it strips? Or
yeah.
It wasn't bars, I don't think. It's probably strips. Whatever it was, but that's just...
It says, to deactivate detonation, please insert two bars of latinum.
Two bars, that's a lot.
That's fucked up.
That's a lot of latinum.
That's unreasonable.
Well, it's the Ferengi. What else would you expect? Blowing bubbles with hubba bubba bubba gum. I have a bunch of odds and ends if we're ready for odds and ends. Is it too early for odds and ends?
I don't think it's too early.
Do you have any...
We've been doing this a long time.
Do you have any clever thoughts? Clever... Highbrow thoughts, Dan?
The part where she was all going...
I demand barter by combat!
I was going to mention the barter by combat.
Okay. I thought it was interesting because it's some kind of weird, like, more violent version of, like, a Ferengi kind of rule, you know?
Well, you could think of it as a blending of... Because it seems like there's honor involved, you know, like you don't you go back on a deal sort of thing, but there's also the focus on the profit pirate style.
Right.
So it's a sort of a blending of things. It's a sort of kind of it's a new thing.
Yeah, it seemed like some kind of Ferengi thing with more ass kicking.
Yeah, but
involved.
The Ferengi wouldn't fight.
That's what I'm saying. With more ass kicking involved is why I said it's a Ferengi with more ass kicking.
Yeah, technically yes.
Technically,
technically.
In that case, technically,
I just think saying more ass kicking implies some amount of ass kicking in the alternative scenario.
Oh well, the Ferengi have those electro whips. They have the electro whips.
Some of them do. Most of them.
Some of you said that like some of them do.
Some of them do.
Let me tell you, Dan.
Some of them do.
Maybe.
Some of them don't.
Maybe.
Some of them just like to scurry and cower in a corner with one of them little curved pistol things. Those
what?
Little laser blasters.
Man, De'Erica was being so shitty to Tendi that whole time. Like first, she was all saying like, "Hey, Tendi."
That's how siblings are sometimes.
Yeah, well, first she was saying to Tendi, she's like, hey, Tendi, I can't give you my ship because that'll look bad that we're colluding with Starfleet for our deals. And then she gives him the ship through Barter by Combat. Tendi gave her a way out, being like, it's Barter by Combat. You have to honor it. And so she could have given her a legitimate ship at that point and not lost any face. But she'd still tried to get a profit from her by giving her some shit old ship.
Yeah.
And then in the very end, when Tendi was having a goodbye party with her friends, she was like, no, we need her now. Like, that was just insult to injury right there. She could have at least given Tendi a little bit more time with her friends.
She sucks, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Well, okay, we're gonna find out more. I don't necessarily disagree. I think a lot of my thinking hinges on that last look that Tendi gives at the very end of the episode, because she's wistfully looking out the window right before her ship, which, by the way, the Orion ship looks exactly like the ship from the Pirates of Orion episode of TAS. Which we discussed in episode 182
times
of the no in episode number 182 of It's Got Star Trek
times
we discussed the Pirates of Orion. Go back and check it out. It's a good one. That's a good episode.
You're talking about the scene where she was like,
you've got this,
that one.
Yes, because she's looking out the ship wistfully sad, etc. And then she turns around and then she gets that sort of she's like, says, you've got this. But then she gets that clever look on her face. And
clever.
I think there's really two ways to interpret that are reasonable.
Do you think she turned heel? Do you think she turned heel?
No, I'm not. This is not a wrestling. This is not a wrestling. She's not the heel. She hasn't turned
she's
into
already
the,
been, she's already
the
been,
heel
she's
in
already
the wrestling
been, she's already been put over. Do you think now that she's put over, she's going to turn heel?
Dan, you're using all this wrestling wrestling colloquialisms, which is fine.
You got to keep kayfabe. It's all about keeping the kayfabe.
So now you've gone beyond my ken, so I'm not sure if you're making
my
that
ken?
Last.
Yeah, that's beyond anyone's ken.
You've
I
gone
believe.
Beyond my ken with
Look
the term kayfabe, so I don't know.
Kayfabe with a K, it's a real word.
I don't know if you're making that up.
I'm not.
Because I'm familiar with the other terms that you utilized.
I'm not making it up.
But okay. All right.
But
the two ways I think you can interpret that look.
She's probably going to have to take a few bumps when she's on this mission on the Orion ship.
Okay, well, that's the key message there is the mission, because my argument, it's not solely my argument because I read it from other people and I was like, you know what? That sounds good. It's now my argument. Is that look, one way to interpret it is that she's putting on her Orion face because she's like, okay, now I got to live with Orions. I'm going to put on my Orion face.
And turn heel.
Well, no, but just whatever. I didn't take it that way. I took it as an indicator that there's something else going on that we're not let in on yet, which to me sounds like mission. To me sounds like secret mission from Captain Freeman or from the Admiral saying, okay, Tendi, you're now in a position to help broker some sort of peace or connection Orions and the Federation.
Instead of her saying, you've got this, as in, okay, now I'm going to be an Orion and put on my mean face so I can rule the Orions. You're saying she's ready for the secret mission.
She's ready for
that's
the secret
mission.
That's
going to involve her being like putting on her Orion
I think
face.
I think she's going to have to do some Game of Thrones style action with her sister and family and other stuff.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
So I expect we'll be seeing more Orion next season. I believe I'm not certain, but I believe that Mike McMahon may have said something implying a similar idea and it certainly seems to make sense given the ending that we would be following some of these events on Orion, at least for a few episodes next season. So something to look forward to.
Mm.
Ha!
The future.
That's right, Jesse.
There were... One of my favorite interactions in the show was this one that I'm about to tell you right now.
You're gonna tell it to us?
No, you're not.
It's this one.
You can't just activate some systems. They're dependent.
They don't have to be.
God. I don't know. It's like an awesome in the weeds engineering like conversation. It's totally the both sides. It's like they all work together. It's like, no, you think outside the box, man. Like
that's great.
It's like you guys have to be on the same page.
Yeah.
I really
that
like
was
that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That made me LOL for real.
Oh, there was so much that was LOLable.
Yeah.
Is that a term? LOLable.
LOLable.
If not, let's trademark it.
LOLP.
Rafflesaurus. Rafflesaurus.
Tendi's sister mentions, references something called Sword and Scabbard.
Yes, I was wondering about that too.
Which sounded like either a sexy book or a magazine or something. It's like it's like an issue.
Guns and Ammo, it's Sword and Scabbard.
I was figuring, is it Guns and Ammo or is it like a romance book? Because Sword and Scabbard makes me think of penis and vagina.
Yeah, I was.
Perhaps unfairly. I'll admit that.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, just what if you're just being truthful.
Seems pretty fundamental. Yeah.
wait a minute.
I mean, I don't like the violence of that imagery.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
But that imagery is there.
What I had in my head was something similar. It was sword and scabbard or like Guns and Ammo magazine. But yeah. But the swords and scabbard, I thought I thought it would be one with like wizards and stuff, you know, warriors. And I wasn't thinking about
like along Dungeons and Dragons type.
Yeah,
book?
I wasn't thinking along the sex lines.
Yeah. Wow.
Because I have a pure mind.
Okay.
Yeah, I was thinking more D&D.
Yeah, you guys are nerds.
we need to be powerful.
I like that they had the Trinars. Now, we commented on this, I think, briefly last week. We commented something about, like, were there three of the Binars? And
indestructible Trinar shield.
So, first of all, it took me to the second episode to understand that
more like the Trihards, right? They're the Trinars, more like the Trihards. What, they can just warp whenever they can transport whenever they want? What's that about? They can just chill on Locarno's ship until it's time to leave, and then they just transport over to the Romulan ship or whatever?
All right.
Do you notice they just transported? Why did they just transport? And that's when he was like, stupid Binars or whatever. Or did he say that? I don't know. I think someone said stupid Binars. But why did they just, how did they transport? Do Binars have a special ability to like do that?
What? why are you sort of phrasing this as if you're doing like a five minute set of observational humor on Binars?
I mean, but what's up
you guys
with
ever see this? You guys ever see these Binars? You see these Binars just transporting away? They just think they can transport away? What's
up
with that?
This up, dude?
Was there
what's the punchline to this?
When they were in the episode, did they have special transporting abilities, or were we to assume they just used normal transporting abilities?
They had clever stuff. The people wanted to hang out with the Binars because they had clever stuff. But the Trinar thing, first of all, like I was trying to say.
Like you were Trinaring to say.
was that this episode, you know, I had to watch it. It wasn't until the second go through that I understood this, like, oh, okay, the shield is the Trinar shield. That's why there's three of them controlling it. I found it interesting that the Trinars are Binars who do not conform to their culture's expectation of being in pairs. Mm-hmm. I like that. I'm not a huge fan of the fact that they were like people rebelling, but I guess it's kind of an interesting thought to say, like, one reason they were disaffected was maybe they were looked down upon in their culture. And I think that's kind of a cool, subtle thing that they threw in there that you just kind of, you don't notice until you notice it.
Do you think that's too far of a reach, though, or do you think they meant it?
No, I think they meant it. I think it was beyond the joke that there were three and you wanted to say Trinar, which does sound stupid.
Indestructible Trinar shield.
There were two rules of acquisition. Here's one of them.
What about rule of acquisition 91? Your boss is only worth what he pays you.
What about?
And then they respond with 289.
Shh.
Sorry, that came out ruder than I meant it to come out. But
what about?
Here's number 289.
And you're forgetting rule 289. Shoot first, count profits later.
That's a pretty good rule. At first, I wasn't sure about it, but then I was like, yeah, you know, if you're in some heist, you don't want to, like, make sure you got enough money. Don't be too greedy, because if you're too greedy, you will lose all your money, you know?
You have to know when to hold them.
A lot of the, most of the Frankie rules of acquisition are actually pretty good advice. Mm-hmm. Now, they're upsetting sometimes because they're
capitalism.
They're all based on living in a capitalist environment, but,
Well,
it's charming.
So Mariner was able to bring them and the Romulans over. First with the Ferengi, she told him, like, this guy doesn't care about profit.
This guy doesn't care.
And if he doesn't make any profit, you're not going to make any profit. Yeah. And so at first they were like, whatever. But then it came back around where later when they were like, we don't need the Genesis device to get profit. And then he responds with something about, like, power or something. Doesn't he say something about, like, power? He says...
Yeah, he wants the Genesis device for leverage.
We need to be powerful.
Yeah, and so that's how they turned with that. And then the Romulans, she was like, they don't see you as equals. They want to control you. And the Romulans are like, no, we don't want to be controlled. And they were like, whatever, we're equals. But then later on, he was all like throwing demands at him, and that's when they snapped. So Mariner like gave him a 1-2 punch through words. You know, she worded them.
And you know, again, you know, you might have to dig deep for this, but if you kind of look at the plot of this two-parter and of the season-long arc,
look at the plot.
If you look at the plot.
If you
sort of dig into it a little bit, you dig down.
A little bit.
What you find is that there's an argument to be made that you can get a bunch of people together, who are disaffected, because you can say you're all disaffected, so you should go against the people who are making you feel disaffected. You can accomplish that.
Let's stick it to those chumps.
It's a lot harder to keep those people together because they're disaffected for different reasons. They have all their own things, and they're being unified just because you all agree that your previous bosses were lame is not enough in common.
Well, that's kind of what I was saying earlier about like how these people who are just disgruntled with their captain, first of all, it doesn't mean they're against their organization. Second of all, it doesn't mean they're suddenly going to organize with each other. And then, but you brought up the point, like they probably just didn't have time to like go through all the ways in which won them over.
This comes up a lot in Lower Decks where they sometimes are brushing into these interesting concepts that they just don't have the time or capacity to dig into. And that's fine, because Lower Decks is a specific thing, and it's an awesome specific thing. It's one of the best specific things of all the specific things in the world.
The best.
Right? So that's
great. The
Maquis
would like a word.
But it's a good problem if your television program is making people occasionally mildly frustrated that you've piqued their interest with some super interesting philosophical or moral quandary, and they didn't have enough time to sort of examine all the various bits and pieces of it. And that's nothing new, by the way. Other versions of Star Trek have sometimes had that issue as well, because it's a lot to squeeze into a small amount of time. Okay, any other bits and bobs, odds and ends? We've got to start closing things down. I think I've covered everything I wanted to cover, except for there was one interaction I had on Facebook. It was chatting with somebody.
Mira, with sails unfurled.
Who was all like, I don't watch Lower Decks. I don't really see the point. And a bunch of people were like, you should watch Lower Decks. Mm-hmm. It's like a really good show. And if you're into Star Trek, at the very least, give it a chance. This is probably not relevant to you if you're listening to this episode of the podcast, unless you're hate listening or whatever, which there's a few of those. Hi, how you doing? But really, it is a real shame if people don't give Lower Decks, and also, by the way, Prodigy, a good fair shot. If you're fans of Star Trek, especially episodic character-based storytelling, it's so wonderful, and it's such a treat to get to follow along this great season. 4 was another really fantastic season. So much great character development, hilarious stories, interesting ideas, I thought great from the beginning to the end. You know, of course, we nitpick about a few things, but that's normal with any show.
Solid season.
Locarno, he did kind of like, he went full villain, like, the last half of the episode, because it just started with him just kind of like being like disgruntled, but still obviously and not bad. But then he turned into like straight up, like he was going to fucking kill Mariner, essentially. Yeah. If given the choice, he would have knocked her off.
Certainly seemed like it. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, it's one potential weakness of this episode is that knowing the lore of Locarno, it does a lot of heavy
lifting.
The
lore of Locarno. That sounds like a fantasy novel.
Because we met Locarno for exactly one episode.
Sword and Scabbard, the lore of Locarno.
So we have to guess the direction and events of his life in the intervening time. And the character they've provided is a totally plausible future version of the Locarno we met, who was kicked out of the Starfleet Academy. So that's fine. It works. You do feel a little bit that you kind of wish, like, oh, I wish there was a little bit more character development somehow, but no worries. It works out in the end, and it just makes us super excited for...
What are you worried about?
For season 5.
Don't worry about it.
Which hopefully we won't have to wait too long for.
There was something... Oh, yeah.
The F!
They did the thing again.
The F!
Remember Blast?
Yes, the F.
What was the one we were doing before?
There was Deborah.
No, there was Bert.
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 Bert. Bert.
Yeah, the F!
Yeah, we can't do it as well.
The F! I used to train with the F!
Beth.
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 So Tendi's the mistress of the winter constellation. So she's like number one badass, basically, with some kind of title, I guess.
But her sister's better at combat. At least that was the impression we got.
Right. And what
episode.
Was her sister's title? Like head cartel dude or something?
I don't recall.
Yeah. So
we'll find out more next
and
year.
And I want to know more about this winter of... Mistress of the Winter Constellations, like what is her official government role, or is it some kind of spiritual role?
She's a green meanie.
Like, is it some kind of military role? Is it some kind of prophecy? She's a prophecy, or is it some kind of like? Is she like some?
Is she a green?
Is she Harry Potter?
Is she some
You're
kind
a
of
wizard, Tendy?
Is she supposed to be some kind of reincarnation of some like long living savior or something? Like, what does it mean to be the mistress of the winter constellations? If you don't control the cartel, what does it she
sounds
control?
Like some stuff.
It's kind of like Darth Vader in a way, because Darth Vader wasn't like he wasn't some official military dude.
He was the Dark Lord.
He was the Sith. Yeah, he was a Dark Lord of the Sith, which is its own thing, but somehow involved controlling the military. Like, he was his own fucking thing, you know? So she's her own fucking thing. What is that thing, though? That's what I want to know. I want to know more about her Mistress of the Winter Constellation backstory.
All right, well, look forward to all this and more in Season 5 of Star Trek Lower Decks to be aired at a future point in time, as yet unannounced. In the meantime, that's going to do it for us this week. We hope you enjoyed our coverage this season of Lower Decks.
Prisoner here?
We do want to remind you that just because Lower Decks is now going off the air and there won't be new Star Trek, we are not going off the air.
What are we
going to
do?
We're going to continue to provide people with
whatever we want to do.
Star Trek content week after week after week after week.
How?
By recording conversations.
Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
How are we going to get topics for those organizations?
We are going to use
topics for those. What did you say? I kept thinking you said organization.
I did not say that.
You said something else.
I'm sure I did.
Okay.
Whatever it was, I'm sure it was charming and clever, because that's my style. we will be using Dan's bespoke algorithm.
Oh, boy.
He created a custom algorithm. We will be feeding this episode of the podcast into his algorithm.
Very cool.
His algorithm will spit out a list of Star Trek episodes for us to watch.
Perfect. That's what I'm going
could
for.
Could be TNG, could be TOS, could be Discovery. You never know.
Oh my gosh.
It could be any of those episodes. Any episode we have not yet covered, we will do. But anyway, so what you can
it's
do
beautiful.
Is to find out what we will be watching or what you should be watching next week or at some point in the intervening time from this week's episode.
I don't know what just happened.
Okay. I'm explaining to people. It's don't worry, Dan. Like, okay, we're gonna put on our social media and our website
don't worry about it.
What episode we're gonna watch. Right?
Okay.
Probably by like Wednesday or something, right? And then you all watch that episode and then you listen to the podcast that downloads next week.
That's what I'm going to do.
All right. That's okay. I think everyone's clear on that. Excellent. So, yes.
What?
Our website is www.itsgotstartrek.com. Our social media at It's Got Star Trek, pretty much everywhere. You got your Mastodon, Blue Sky, Twitter, Facebook. We're on YouTube. What else?
It's dangerous as hell.
If you want to send us a voicemail, it's got StarTrek.com/record. Definitely do that. That's super fun. Thanks again, Fraser, for your wonderful comments. And we will
thank you.
We will consider it more fulsomely doing some sort of video game related thing. I think that'd be super fun. All right, that will do it for us.
Oh no!
In the last minute. As Patrick was attempting to conclude the program, Dan wanted to bring up one final point.
The Admiral was being all timid about rescuing Mariner because they didn't start any. There was no bloodshed, so they didn't want to be the first to draw blood to start a whole war. And Freeman was pissed off. And then later on, at the end of the episode, she was like, "If I can ask, what happened to all the alien officers who they allied with? Because they all disappeared." Yeah. And he says, "I imagine they're in hiding since there were no shots fired. Starfleet avoided repercussions." So at the beginning, we're led to believe that the Admiral is just timid and weak.
Yeah.
But like he made a good that kind of like implied that he made a good decision.
I agree that it can be both. It can be timid and weak and the right thing to do.
Right. I know, but like it's funny they set him up as that classic not a bad admiral, but a sort of like a bad admiral.
He's an obnoxious admiral. We discussed this previously, an obnoxious admiral or something similar to that. He's not bad. He's just sort of annoying and he gets in the way.
Yeah, and he gets in the way, and we're led to believe that he's getting in the way, but it actually it's kind of implies that this time he kind of made a good decision.
This guy.
Yeah.
This time.
That's all I wanted to say.
Okay, good. All right. That will do it for us this week. We hope you all have a wonderful time.
Invasive.
Until the next podcast, and then we will re-up that wish. Mm-hmm. And that is one reason you should keep listening to the It's Got Star Trek podcast, is because each week we re-up well wishes for all our audience. And if you want to take advantage of that, you got to keep listening. All right. So we'll talk to you next week. You know, they know what, they understand. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Please, madam, perhaps we could settle this over a delicious bowl of slime.
Ah!